Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone for this interview is candidate for Mayor Mark Thorson. How's it going today, Mark?
Very well, thank you.
All right, and you are running for mayor, right?
That is correct, for the city of Bemidji.
Yeah. There's been a pretty packed primary so far, and I've conducted a fair number of these interviews, but I'm so glad I have the opportunity to talk to you today. Before we get started with the questions, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like how long you've been in Bemidji?
I grew up in Bemidji, came here with my family when I was 4 years old. At that time, Bemidji was a smaller, simpler community. It's grown and developed itself significantly since then, as many recognize. And since that time, it's become actually a small city. It's become a commercial and a cultural center for North Central Minnesota. So I've seen that evolve and develop during the course of my lifetime. Myself, personally, I grew up in a... I started out as a paper boy. It was my first experience with financial issues in Bemidji. Back when I was 9 years old, I had a route that was 5 miles long. Those papers went every day, 7 days a week, whether it was 25 below or it didn't matter, every morning before school. Again, that was my first experience with financial issues. I was involved in the Bemidji schools. Growing up, that's where I was educated, was involved in athletics. Later wound up, I grew up, our family was in the highway construction business, and that's where I learned the construction trade. And then later on, I wound up out in California as a writer, as a screenwriter in the film industry out there for about 12 years, from the early 80s to the early mid-1990s. Then I returned to raise a family and got into the highway construction business myself. I am president and owner of Mark Sand & Gravel Company, which is based out of Fergus Falls, Minnesota. But we work western Minnesota, eastern North Dakota, and north central Minnesota. So I spend a lot of time on the road. I see a lot of things. Been involved with a lot of financial troubleshooting issues, which I think are important to what Bemidji needs right now.
And is this your first campaign?
No, it's actually my second. I ran for a state representative in what that time was District 4A. It kind of equates to 5A right now.
Okay.
I ran just in a primary against John Purcell, the Democratic ticket. That was in 2010. And not that I had any difficult with John. I just, at that time, the state was having financial issues and just offered myself as another choice for the voters. But I was defeated in the primary by John Purcell.
All right. And what made you want to run for mayor this year?
As I cited earlier, it's not to be a mayor, just like I didn't run in 2010 to be a representative. And I think that is something that we see often. People run for office to be a governor or a senator or, fill in the blank for whatever reason to be in that position. I filed because I see Bemidji is facing some financial difficulties right now. I think it's headed for financially troubled waters. And my skill set, again, one of my strengths is financial troubleshooting. I just look at the city's debt. It carries an enormous amount of debt. It's taking on more at the time. I look at its revenue to spending ratios, and I just see scenarios that could be problematic. And so I filed just to offer my services to the citizens to help address that and help navigate the city, working with the city council through some troubled waters and get them onto a better, more positive, healthier financial direction.
All right, so my next question should be right up your alley then. Half of the city is non-taxable land and property, so a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions have you thought of to address this problem?
There are several. There are, firstly and foremostly, there all these problems, that one in particular, this is not to evade the question at all. This is just to expand upon it. These things are never isolated. They're always dependent and connected to other issues. When you look at her debt, the city's taken on, look at the projects she's taken on, the manner in which she's done it, the city. All this is related and connected. And what the city's been doing to this point, as I mentioned in my initial campaign launch, is it's tried to deal with that through increased taxation, annexation to offset that percentage that you mentioned. You said 50%, I think the actual numbers are around 48, but it doesn't matter. through borrowing. And so there's a host of things you can do with that. And I'm a little reluctant, and this is getting out to Dodge, I'm a little reluctant to get overly specific because I'm fairly well versed on the generalities of our financial health in the city. But before you start moving those levers or pushing buttons on the dashboard, it's very important to know exactly how everything is connected, because you can try to or attempt to resolve one problem and create another one. So I'm a little reluctant to get in, but there's some liquidation of some city assets that I see, some possible restructuring of some bonding issues. There are permitting issues that I think are a bit problematic in the city and the system of regulation through the Joint Powers Board that hamper business, citizens, constituents who are the taxpaying public, that I think could use some more vibrancy there as well.
And what are your thoughts on a hospitality or sales tax, especially as it pertains to relieving some of that burden for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
Well, I'm not a fan of it. I don't like it. And I voiced this concern about the Event Center back when I ran for public office or state representative in 2010. And I voiced those problems that we were going to face ourselves with the way they were going about building that event center. I was never against building a hockey arena for the Beavers to get into Division I hockey. But I was against the way they went about it, the building that they built, the location they put it, the money they spent and put into it. It's like getting into business. It's not that difficult to get in. It's hanging on. It's can you hold it? You can build a building and put up the facility, but can you hold it? And that's where we have the problem. Unfortunately, you mentioned hospitality tax. If you look at a lot of communities that have done what Bemidji's done, that's exactly what they end up doing. And my view is to do what we can to avoid that, but it's going to get to a point where something like that may be unavoidable, but I don't think it's as simple as just saying is there a hospitality tax or not. I think there's a larger equation that's got to be factored into. So to answer your question, I know I sound like a politician, but I'm not evading it. It's just that I'm not a fan of it, but there may be a form of it. They may be at some point unavoidable.
All right. My next question is concerning the Highway 197 business corridor, you know, where it kind of juts off west from Bemidji Avenue. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway in 2024. That plan for roundabouts was scrapped, and they're back to the drawing board. What do you think should happen there?
I'm not roundabouts can be very effective when they're used properly, but some people get into roundabout mania. They think that's the end-all solution to everything. Some people just do it because they think it's a fad. They think it's a modern look to a city. Roundabouts are most effective when you have equal amounts of traffic coming from four directions, quite equally. Then they can alleviate trouble. When you go down 197, I don't think they're applicable in that area, in that corridor. And being somebody speaking from the highway construction business, I've built them. I know what they are. I know how they work. And that's not a good application. That's a lot of money ill spent, in my view.
All right. My next question is on the city's water system. That needs an expensive fix. And at the time of this interview, that's a bonding package with some dollars for that project is in the works. But without those bonding dollars, that burden will likely fall to utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on the project and how we can alleviate some of that burden on utility ratepayers should we not get any legislative help?
I've got some thoughts on it, but this is, again, one of the reasons I got into this this mayoral race. The city built a new liquor store back just a handful of years ago and saddled itself with some more debt. And we already had a liquor store. This is new liquor. And I'm a little bit, it gets a little bit controversial when we're picking or deciding to build new liquor stores over safe water. And I think that's unfortunate. And this is a case, again, where I think the overview, that view from 30,000 feet, was really not well scrutinized at the time. But again, that's like the event center. We've got it now. That's where we are. Going into the mayoral seat at this juncture, it's the reality. missing those bonding issues now does not delete you from getting them next year or the following. There are other ways to pay for that, and it's a necessary issue. The water problem is real. It's significant. But my concern is I'm not too concerned about not getting the bonding dollars. I think that will be and can be accomplished. It's paying for those bonds is my concern.
All right. And my next couple of questions concern some current events. Recent events in the city and the state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as mayor to improve those race relations and trust?
I think racial issues in Bemidji, I mean, this is it's like playing golf, not to compare race to golf, but just in the respect that I don't think you ever achieve a perfect score. We're all human beings, and as a collective, it's difficult. We're not perfect. It's a matter of how well you do, how well you play, how well we get along, how well we continue to work together. And I think in general, Bemidji does fairly well. There are some folks who'd like us to believe otherwise, but I think Bemidji does pretty well in race relations. And it's just a continued process of working towards a better day, a better world, a better community. I don't see, you know, a radical revolution or upending the table on this issue. It's again, just continue to work for a better tomorrow for all of us.
And my last questions on COVID-19. Well, many businesses are beginning to reopen closer to normal. What do you think a city council's role should be in a public health emergency should this ever happen again?
You know, that's a controversial issue. There's as many different views on this as you can find people in a room, and it gets emotional. It gets to be a charged debate. I have stated, and I've publicly done so, disagreed with some of the positions that the state and the federal government took on this. I think the biggest thing is not slitting our financial throat. I think there are scores of things we could have done, both personally and through regulation, without hurting ourselves so severely financially. I'm not so much talking at the city level, I'm talking at the state and federal, but it also hurt a lot of local businesses. And as you look at it right now, a lot of businesses are reopening, but the caseload is not lowering. Having said all of that, I am not a revolutionary, I'm not a radical. I do believe in following state guidelines and federal guidelines and doing the best we can within that to adapt it to our local constituents and our local businesses.
And a follow-up for that, the council took some actions on the COVID crisis. One that comes immediately to my mind is opening up public right-of-ways for use for downtown businesses for patio dining. What did you like that the council did, and what would you have done differently?
I agree with what they did. I was just frustrated at first because it didn't sound like they were going to do it. At first, it sounded like some of the businesses, you know, some that have patio seating were going to be in luck, and those that did not have any outside parking lot or they're just on a downtown street were going to be out of luck. And I was very pleased to see that the city did adjust itself and get that taken care of, so some of those downtown businesses, you know, on Minnesota Avenue, Beltrami, and other streets down there could get back to some semblance of new normalcy.
All right. Well, Mark, is there any other issue that I didn't address here in my questions that you'd like to make sure we discussed before we wrap this up?
No, I thought your question was very thorough. But, you know, again, my campaign, it's focused generally and foremostly on the city's financial health, its financial condition. And I do feel that I am the best-suited candidate that's got the wherewithal to deal with those problems. And usually financial issues are not a very, for lack of a better term, sexy topics. So this campaign is not one for popularity. It's a campaign that's for the betterment of Bemidji, its citizens, and for the surrounding community.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark Thorson, for mayor.